This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alex Dono's our good buddy down in Miami at the Great QAM. He does nights on 560. Awesome station. One of my all-time favorites. Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott, I'm doing great, man. And I used to listen to you back on QAM back in the day, so it comes full circle.
I was surprised that I was able to get up in the morning, Alex, to do that show. Hey, so let me ask you, seriously, we were talking earlier about Derek Jeter on the show here because obviously people in New York are enamored with him. And now they're against him now. It's the weirdest relationship you ever seen because when he played here for 20 years, he was God. And now he's like this, I don't know, how would you describe him, Carver High? Like, he's not the enemy, but people are like, what happened to him? Like, people are like, what's wrong with Derek Jeter? He turned into someone we don't like.
Yeah, I think it actually started even before he bought the Marlins, just the way that he was acting, never showing up at the stadium. But he's really shown his true color since he bought that team.
So what do you think, Alex, of that he's like, well, I don't really care if he comes to New York to the games next week. To me, that's ridiculous. But tell me what the relationship is like in Miami with Derek and the team and the fans and everything since he took over.
Well, the fans don't like him here either, quite frankly, and it's tough when the first thing you do, essentially, the first thing you do after you buy the Miami Marlins is you trade everybody. Like, you trade Giancarlo Stanton, you trade Christian Yelich, you trade Marcelo Ozuna, you trade D. Gordon. Like, and obviously the Marlins were not a very good team to begin with, but any of the players the fans liked, any of the players the fans recognized, those are the first players you get rid of your first day in, and, you know, he talks about this great master plan. It's going to require a lot of patience from fans, right? Because you're getting rid of theoretically your best players to bring in prospects that fans won't actually see on the field for a couple of years. You're talking about guys who are playing double-A ball and triple-A ball right now. So, yeah, I mean, he's gotten off to a very rocky start with the fans down here. And, you know, the only way to build a relationship is to win some baseball games. And, you know, you would expect the Marlins probably win somewhere between 60 and 65 games this year, barring some miracle.
Oh, man.
I think it's safe to say he's not going to be very well liked down here for a while because he's, you know, he's not done anything since arriving in South Florida to endear himself to the fans.
Alex Dono with us from QAM in Miami. Do you think, explain to people, Alex, so about Gio. So he comes up here and he, in the first, you know the deal, the first game he hit two home runs and he was God. And then he proceeded to strike out five times twice and he's had multiple 0-for games. And he has been their whipping boy of late. Like, they are chastising this guy. Like, you have no, it's like Ed Whitson. They're just abusing this guy in New York now on the radio, on TV, online, Twitter, you name it. Any way you can come up with to abuse him. My question to you is, tell people, explain to people what you think he'll, you know, you've seen him play every day. What will he turn into here? Let's say, for instance, when it heats up and when he plays to his fullest potential, because I think there's something to be said for the whole change, freezing cold up here. He's been playing in these horrible games at the beginning of the season, and he's looked terrible, but I have a feeling he'll break out at some point or another and make everyone eat their words.
Yeah, especially since you go from the Miami Marlins to the New York Yankees. Like, just the, not only the change in weather, Scotty, but the change in pressure, right? The change in the stage that you're playing on. So I think at certain points this season, Stanton is going to go on some tears where 20-game stretch, 25-game stretch, he's hitting home runs, he's hitting bombs every night. But he's always going to strike out a lot. Like, that's part of his MO. He's not great at working the counts. You're going to have some of these games where he goes 0-for-5. You're going to have to live through some of those. But I would suspect you're probably going to get at least a couple stretches this year where for 20, 25 games, this guy is hitting one or two bombs out of the park every night. And so, yeah, I would imagine in a place like New York, in a fan base like the Yankees, where, you know, they are so passionate and they're going to turn on a guy as fast as they're going to love a guy. I think by the end of the year, Yankees fans will love Stanton. I think he's going to give you plenty to be excited about up there.
So, Alex Dono, tell me about the Landry guy. So he goes to the Browns, and they've offered him all this fat bank, and I can hear you laughing. Tell me what you think that relationship's going to turn into, or is that going to be a divorce?
Yeah, man, it's so hard because it depends on who's playing quarterback there. Landry, he was a really good safety net for Ryan Tannehill when he was here. And I like Jarvis Landry a lot. I think it's unfortunate he's no longer a Dolphin, but I wouldn't pay him the money Cleveland is paying him. Because the thing with Jarvis Landry is, if they had gotten an extension done with him a year before he hit free agency instead of waiting until the year he hit the market, I think they could have gotten him at a hometown discount here. I thought the Dolphins dropped the ball on that. I wouldn't give him the $75 million he's getting now, but if they could have worked out something a year ago, because he wanted to sign an extension last year. He didn't want to hit the free agent market. He wanted to get something done last year, but they let it go. He had another 112 catch season, so his value went up. For Jarvis Landry, this is a guy who he's going to catch probably 100-plus passes this year, no matter who the quarterback is, but most of the passes he's going to catch are going to be 8-9 yards. Like, he's not a game-changing player. He's going to catch some touchdowns. He's going to move the chains a few times. But if you're in a bad spot, you need to convert a big third down, you're backed up third and 15, that's not the guy you go to. Jarvis Landry is, he's a slot receiver who's going to catch a ton of volume, but he's not, a Mike Wallace, an Antonio Brown, I should say, type of game-changer who's going to be catching stuff 30-40 yards down the field. So I think the decision the Dolphins made on the guy was, we view him as a safety valve volume slot receiver, but he wants to get paid like a number one boundary receiver, and they saw a disconnect there with the price he was asking for. And so the Dolphins just decided, we like this guy, but he's not worth that kind of money. So if Cleveland thinks they've got now a game-changing wide receiver, I think he probably makes that team a little bit better, but not at that price.
What do you think? Alex Dono does nights on QAM, the great station in Miami, 560, our affiliate. Do you think they're going to do in terms of what's their plan for the draft? Now that they got rid of all this money and Sue and Landry, et cetera, where do they sit?
They're number 11 in the first round, and I'm fascinated by this draft from a Dolphins point of view because – I think Adam Gase is in love with the idea of Baker Mayfield, but I don't think he's going to be there at number 11. And I don't think the Dolphins can afford to trade up into the top 7 or the top 5, whatever it would take to draft one of these top 4 quarterbacks, because Scott, they've got so many needs, man. And a lot of it comes from the fact that, that they let trade Jarvis Landry, that they cut Ndamukong Suh, that they cut Mike Pouncey, but I think they're going to be all right on the offensive line. But they need help on defense, right? I think if you get this ideal scenario for Adam Gase, who's not the guy who makes the final decisions, the general manager, Chris Greer, is the one who actually selects the players, but he takes a lot of input from Adam Gase. From Gase's perspective, if a miracle happens that Baker Mayfield is still on the board at number 11, Adam Gase seems to be in love with him. I think they take him. But in the more likely event that, the 4 top quarterbacks are off the board at that point, I think they would go with either a defensive tackle like Vita Vea, who could, maybe become your Ndamukong Suh replacement, quote-unquote, moving forward. I think they could go definitely for a linebacker like Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech or Roquan Smith from Georgia, who's a little bit undersized, but they say nice things about him. Or, there's also some talk that if Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State, is there, that they would take a long, hard look at him because they see him as being a future great safety. And even though, one of the things that's frustrating about the Dolphins is they're spending a lot of money on the safety position because they have Rashad Jones, who's a Pro Bowler. McDonald, they really like, who they just gave a new contract to, but they're both strong safeties. So they're paying a lot of money for a couple of safeties who don't really play well with each other. They kind of play the same position. So, I think a guy like Derwin James, if he's there, could fill that role. So they've got a ton more needs on defense, Scotty. I think that they're in love with a flashy quarterback, but the more practical pick would be a defensive player because they got a lot of holes back there.
So, respectfully, I got 1 minute. Tell me what you think of the Heat and their road woes as they go into this series with the Sixers, who are on fire.
I think the Heat will – they realistically, they'd be happy to get a 6 or 7 game series out of this and lose to the Sixers. They're not beating Philadelphia. Philadelphia is too long, and they've got the two best players in that series, Ben Simmons, obviously. And, you know, Joel Embiid, when he plays, is going to be the second-best player in that series. The Heat don't have enough firepower. I think Eric Spoelstra is a good enough coach. They're a gritty enough team to go 6 or 7, but they're not winning that series.
Is it true that the Heat have reached out to you about a 10-day deal for your newborn son, Luka, to be playing in the playoffs?
Man, if he can guard Ben Simmons, Scotty, I think they should sign him up.
I like that. Congratulations on the arrival.
Thanks, man.
My man. Hey, Alex, thanks for coming on the bench. Have a great weekend, brother. Great job.
You too, man. My pleasure.
All the best. Alex Dono, QAM Miami.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.